Hey guys, this is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast.
Today on Made for This, we're going to be looking at Philippians 3, verses 17 through 20. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, let's hear from Jenny.
This week we're going to talk about finding and keeping great people in our lives, and also being able to spot unhealthy people. And I want to start by just saying we're all the unhealthy people to some extent. You are never going to find the perfect people to do life with, the perfect people to do community with. You will always be doing community and life with sinners. And you are chief among them, and I am chief among them. And so we will approach this with a lot of humility. At the same time, what you see throughout Scripture is that we are to use discernment and intention in who we choose to do life with. And by that, I just mean the deepest parts of life. It was a given that we are supposed to make disciples who make disciples. When Jesus is leaving the earth, he's going back to his Father. He's died. He's risen again. And his last words are, make disciples, go into all the earth and make disciples. So we're supposed to go into the world, and we're supposed to love all kinds of people. We're supposed to love those that cannot love us back. We're supposed to love those that have nothing to give us. In fact, that's the very people that Jesus spent some of his most intentional time with. But God also knew that we were built to live as part of a body, to have encouragement, to have those that are pushing us on, that are helping us finish our races and press on. So verse 20 talked about our citizenship is in heaven. And so we are headed toward our home, and we've got to have those that will remind us of that and keep us following God. So let me just start with a given that we are to love those that are not like us and those that are not perfectly healthy. In fact, that is one of the greatest callings of our lives. So what I'm talking about in this episode is actually how to pick your circle, those that are very closest to you. And in my opinion, and this is an opinion, that circle probably can't be a lot bigger than 3 to 4 people. There's just not margin in the busy lives we lead to have a group of 20. Those are more like acquaintances. Those are probably more like who you'd have to a big birthday party. But your people that are going to keep tabs on you, that are going to know what's going on day in and day out in your life, that you're going to call and pick up the phone and tell about a fight you just had with your husband, or a difficulty that you just had at work, or a fear or insecurity or a sin that you're consistently dealing with. Those are the people I'm talking about. That group probably can't be a lot more than 3 to 4 people. So when I'm talking about pick your people, find your people, that's what we're going to talk about today. And Paul knows that there's a difference. When we look out and we're looking for those people, there are going to be people that are following God that we want to imitate, that we want to run after because they're following God and we want to be more like them. And then there's going to be people that, and I love how descriptive he is. He says that their God is their belly and they glory in their shame. And gosh, I could, you know, hopefully I resemble more of the first person, but I probably often resemble the second person too. So we're going to approach this with a lot of grace. We know that this is a tension for all of us. So we just moved. So this is actually a really interesting topic to me because I just had to find new friends. I moved to Dallas, and apart from my sister-in-law, who I have a great relationship with and love, I really didn't have any other friends in this new town. And I was nervous about it because my life is very full with work and with kids. And I just thought, how on earth is God? And I need those people. Like I cannot live very long without people in my face, like telling me how to grow, telling me what I need to notice about myself, encouraging me. I just can't live without that for very long. And so I put some prayer, I wouldn't even say a lot of prayer into it, and just asked God, you know, like, would you bring those people fast? And would it be easy? And I'm sure God was like, yeah, that's cute, Jenny. You know, nothing about this is going to be easy. But the only thing that I can say that he did, because community is never easy, it doesn't just fall in your lap. But the only thing I will say that he did is he gave us a lot of discernment. Now, I want to say this. We did not run into the first small group that we got asked to be in. We actually were invited to be in a small group pretty quickly. And we just said, you know what, give us 6 months and we'll come back to this and see if this is a good fit. And we were just super honest about it. And they probably thought we were a little guarded, and maybe that we didn't like him, but that was okay. I was like, you know what? We've just got to get this right. And so for 6 months, we went out to dinner with people that we met. We continued to ask questions about people that were in this group. You know, tell me about them. What do you know about them? And what was cool is over those 6 months, we heard so much good about their lives. We heard about the ministries that they cared about. We heard about how much they love God, about how they were raising and launching kids into the world. And we were like, you know what? We like them. We want to be like them. And eventually, it was funny, we actually were about to be kicked out of the group before we were even in it. They had another couple come to them and say, can we be in this group? And it was going to be a smaller group, limited in size. And then we heard that and we were like, wait, we've heard such good things about you. We want to do life with you. We want to be in this group. And I was scared, like it might be too late. But I don't regret that time. I'm so grateful, like we took the time to really figure out, are these the people that we can really be honest with? And let me tell you what we do. It's pretty wild. I've never done community this deep. We tell each other everything. Like we, in fact, in the last month, we brought our finances to each other, even including the numbers. Like we brought each other everything in our lives, like that, where we're giving, what we're spending, how much we make. We brought it all to each other and we all looked at it together and saw places we could grow and learned so much by seeing how other people in this group handle their finances and struggles that we were having. And it's just amazing. I've never seen community be that raw and honest. I mean, if you're showing each other your pocketbooks, like this is deep. It's kind of like, what else would we not share with each other? And I mean, we've brought fights. I mean, one of them got in a fight and they brought it to the group and they were still in the fight, you know, so it's like a, you know, reconciliation. I mean, it was awesome. I just feel like they aren't perfect. And they would tell you that. Like, it's not like they just meet my every need and they are just the dream friends that I would pick, but they were determined to grow and become more like Christ. That was the qualifier for me, is we want to be around people that are determined to grow and become more like Christ. And so I had to let a lot of other things go, where we may not have the exact same worldview on everything, and we may not handle our kids in the exact same ways, and we may have, you know, different freedoms in different places and different rules in different places in our lives, but there's grace and there's a pursuit of God that is so powerful for me to be around, that I love God more because of them. I'll tell you this, I had to decide after those 6 months, we waited, and then we just had to choose. Like, we just had to say, you know what, we don't know everything about these people. I don't know if it's safe to bring our finances to them, but we just need to jump in, and we're going to have to pick some friends and choose them, even if it's imperfect, even if it has conflict with it, which it will, we got to jump in. And it's just been fun and hard and messy, and yet I see so much fruit from it. Let me say this, you're going to be exactly as close as you are vulnerable enough to share. Like, you have to be the one that goes first. I hate saying that because, you know, hopefully you're listening to this with a whole group of people and you all can go first, but likely you're listening to this and you're thinking, I've got to go first. You have to go first. You have to go first. You have to gather some people and be like, guys, I need community in my life. I cannot do it alone anymore. And I'm going to be brave here. And I'm going to tell you some things about myself. It's the beginning of great, healthy community. And usually what happens with healthy people is they'll nod and then they'll tell you, okay, here's what I'm struggling with. It's scary. It's vulnerable, but it is worth it. Now, healthy friendships, they are going to have conflict. I want to be so clear about that. You cannot write somebody off because it's difficult. In fact, I tell my kids, if you have not had conflict with somebody, you're probably not good friends yet. That is going to be part of it. So we can't write people off, but at the same time, Paul wasn't afraid. Like earlier in the chapter, in chapter 3, he says, look out for evildoers. He's not afraid to say there are unhealthy people and you need to guard yourself from them. And they are in it for your destruction. And their gods are their belly, like verse 19 says, and their glory is in their shame. And I think about this, that they are just so comfortable with their sin. Like, they don't need to change anything. They don't want to be messed with. If that's the people you're running with, I can promise you, you are going to get complacent fast, because our flesh loves to not be bothered about its sin. So if you have friends that glory in their shame, that just, hey, it's okay, live and let live, that is not going to produce growth in you. If our goal is to become more and more like Christ as we age, which we all know the people that become less and less like Christ as they age, you know, we don't want to be the bitter old women that are cranky and angry at the world. You know, we typically go one of two directions as we age. And so if we want to be those that get more holy, that get less selfish, that love the mission of God even more and more the older we get, we've got to have people around us that do not glory in their sin, that they hate it, that they're fighting it, and we would fight it together.
Music.
So a friend from Olympia, Washington, texted in and asked, as an extrovert, military brat, and military spouse, I don't struggle making friends and have never had problems going deep fast with others who are geographically or otherwise removed from their families. But now that we moved to a small town, I'm struggling to draw out the vulnerability and deepness in my friendships here, likely because they're all in their safe zones with family. How do you develop richness and friendship with others who seem stuck in their safe places?
Well, that's a great question, because I do think we can long for this and we can even be good at this, and yet it's still hard to find. And so what I've noticed, and this is just suggestions really more than advice, I have noticed leading a Bible study is one way for me to feel closer to people. And I just think having some catalyst that makes you go deeper. So we have conversation cards in our studies. We also have, if gathering sells, some individual conversation cards. But I think we just need sometimes that outside source that for, it's almost like my small group leader calls it force family fun. Like we're going to force ourselves to do something that will be in the end very good and deep and build deeper community. But as we're going, it's a little bit awkward. And so anyway, we always make fun of him for his forced family fun. But I think if we never force it and like go deeper and bring about those harder questions, you know, I am a big believer in not giving up on people too fast. I think most people want to go deep. Some people take longer than others. Don't give up too fast. Let them feel safe with you. They may just take a lot longer to warm up. They may not be used to being asked questions that are deeper. And I would say just fight for them. And especially if you're good at it, if you know you're comfortable enough to stay and to fight for them, I think we have to be those that don't just look for the person that's poised and as deep as you are and as ready to be vulnerable as you are. Sometimes you need to help them get there. And I think that that's a worthwhile thing. And I believe most people want to go there. Even the ones that act like they don't, I think they do. They just don't know how. And actually, this happened recently with a friend that we were doing a forced family fun activity. And we were on a trip together, a mission trip. And she had said, don't make me go deep. I don't like to go deep. And it was so interesting because we forced it. And she answered her question. And it was absolutely amazing. I mean, her answer was so moving. And then at the end, I walked up to her and I was like, do you understand that you shifted the culture of the whole room? Like, you didn't want to do this, but you did it. And you shifted the culture of the whole room. The rest of the night, we all were referring back to what she had shared because we related to it so well. So I think sometimes you just really have to hold people's hand and help them do it.
We want to communicate with you and let you know the things that are happening with the podcast and ask you some questions as well. So text Jenny Allen, JenniAllen, to 31996. That's Jenny Allen, one word, to 31996. And we will add you to our text stream and we'll send you all kinds of fun stuff, free stuff, communication, and questions. We want you to be a part of the conversation.
I named this podcast not after a book, but after a life theme, which I also wrote a book about. So if you don't have the book, go get it. It is called Made for This. It is a devotional that honestly sums up so much of my passion and heart for women and for all of our lives, that we would spend them well. And so it's going to help you discover your gifts. It's going to help you understand God's purposes for your lives and his plans. Do not miss it. Made for This. Go to Amazon, wherever books are sold. It's sitting there on a shelf, 40 days to understanding your purpose. Let's figure this out together, because we don't want to waste our lives.